Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, and also the book of Joshua, chapter 3 and chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, read verses 39 and verse 40. Know therefore this day, consider it in thine heart, that the Lord He is God in heaven above, upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Then in the book of Joshua, chapter 3, I'd like to read verse 17. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over. And then in the book of Joshua, again, chapter 6, we'll read verses 1 and 2 and then verse 20. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Verse 20 of chapter 6. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. To continue the thought from this morning concerning land of Canaan, each of these verses that we just read have a relationship to the land of Canaan, which again is a type of the higher spiritual life, type of a heavenly life upon the earth, the simple enjoyment of the Lord, the enjoyment of God's best for us. It's the abundant life that Jesus talked about. What we read here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, the whole chapter, is the instruction and conditions that Moses laid down for when the children of Israel would go into Canaan. The verses that we read are just part of that instruction, part of the conditions. And these instructions and conditions were not only necessary for the children of Israel to enter into Canaan, but also to remain there. If they were going to remain there, they needed to follow these instructions. And what we read in Joshua 3 is the record of children of Israel crossing over the Jordan River, which again was absolutely necessary in order to enter the land of Canaan. And then what we read in Joshua 6 is a record of how that after they cross the Jordan River, they are faced with an enemy city called Jericho. If they were going to advance further into the land of Canaan, they had to face Jericho. They had to defeat Jericho. And as you read the history of Israel in the Old Testament, we see that they were delivered from Egypt, which of course is a type of salvation. And then from that point on, their history, they either wandered in the wilderness, they enjoyed Canaan, or they were in captivity, living under the dominion of an enemy power. And that was their history. And that's pretty much the history of God's people. That's the history of individuals. The truth is, we are living in one of those three places tonight. We're either wandering in the wilderness, really getting nowhere. We're under the dominion of an enemy power, or we live in Canaan enjoying what God has for us. And as we said this morning, God did not save you for you to just wander in the wilderness. He did not save you in order for you to be brought under the power, the dominion of an enemy. He saved your soul. He brought you out of Egypt so that you would live in this sin-cursed earth to His praise and His glory, and that you would enjoy everything that God has for you. And I believe that is possible, again, as we said this morning, for every single child of God. Everyone who has been truly saved, I believe, can live enjoying the Lord, can live an abundant life. They do not have to live in the wilderness. They do not have to live under the dominion and control of an enemy power. But if you look at most of God's people today, the vast majority of those who profess salvation, perhaps they're not truly God's people, but they profess salvation. And you will find that the vast majority either are dwelling in the wilderness or they are living their life under the dominion of an enemy power. And that is not how it should be. That is not how it has to be. And that is not why the Lord saved our soul. And if we're wandering in the wilderness, it's because we're doing things that keep us there. You do the things that keep you there. If you're under the dominion of an enemy power, it's because you did not do the things necessary to keep that from happening. So we need to ask ourselves again tonight, where are we living? I want to speak tonight on the subject of the life that is possible for every child of God. And in so doing, we want to consider the foundation of such a life. And that foundation is in our text there in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 39 in verse 40. If we put into practice verse 39 and verse 40, we will enjoy what God has for us. We will continually grow spiritually. And this is the foundation of the faith that is required to live in Canaan. It takes great faith to live in the land of Canaan. It takes great faith to cross over Jordan. It takes great faith to go against Jericho. It takes faith. It takes courage. And faith and courage must have a foundation upon which it is built. And I believe that foundation is here, particularly in Deuteronomy 4 in verse 39. So if we are going to enter, if we are going to enjoy, if we are going to remain in Canaan, there's some things that we must know. He says here in verse 39, know. And then skipping over, it says, know that the Lord, He is God, in heaven above and upon earth beneath, and there is none else. We have to know that. Now, that is more than just knowing something about truth. A lot of God's people know about truth. There's a big difference between knowing about truth and knowing it. There's a big difference tonight between knowing about God and knowing God. And so this is something more than just knowing about. This is actually knowing that the Lord, He is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath. It goes further than just knowing intellectually. This is more than just a head knowledge. If anyone comes to church any length of time at all, they're going to learn some things intellectually. I mean, you can't help it. You're going to pick up something. But this is a knowledge that goes beyond an intellectual knowledge. An intellectual knowledge will never get you into Canaan. It's going to take more than that. This is something more than a knowledge that is passed on. And by that, I mean you know something because somebody told you it was so. This is something far greater than that. This is a knowledge of revelation. Notice in verse 35, we read, "Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightst know that the Lord, He is God. There is none beside Him." It was shown thee. That is, God revealed it to you, and that is how you know it. How do you know that God is God in heaven and God on earth, and that there is none comparable to God? How do you know that? Is it because you've been taught that from a child? Or is it because God showed you that? And you know it because God has revealed it to you. That is the kind of knowledge that we need. He goes on, he says, "No, you need to know this in thine heart." You need to know it in your heart. That means that you understand it. That means that you recognize it. That means that you have some comprehension. It means that you have confidence. To know it in your heart means that you have confidence. It means that you are persuaded. It means that you have the conviction. And that you know with absolute certainty that the Lord, He is God. He is God in heaven. He is God on the earth. And there is none else. You know that with absolute certainty. It is a knowledge that cannot be shaken. Nothing shakes this knowledge. No matter what happens, nothing changes what you know here about the Lord. It is a knowledge that you feel. It is something that you know, and you know it so well. You are so certain of it that you can feel it in your innermost being. This is the knowledge that we need. If we're going to enter and enjoy and remain in Canaan, not only must we know this, but we also must consider. Consider it in thine heart. To consider is to take into account. That is, no matter what happens, take into account that God is God. That God is God in heaven. That God is God upon earth. That is, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what might happen, you are going to ponder this. You are going to observe this. You're going to regard it. You're going to think about it. You're going to be mindful of it. You're going to be drawn to it. That God is God. He is God in heaven. He is God in earth. And there is none else. if we are ever going to live in Canaan, we have to know this. We have to consider this. Now notice what it is to be, what we are to know and what we are to consider. Know and consider that the Lord, He is God. That is, understand that. You may not understand why something happens, but understand this, that He is God. That we need to understand. We don't have to understand why something happened, but we do need to understand He is God. We need to understand that. We need to comprehend that. We need to be persuaded of that. We needed to be convicted of that and absolutely certain that He is. We take hold of that. We do not let go of that. No matter what happens, you take hold of that. And you do not ever let it go. And because, again, this is the foundation of the faith that is required to enter into Canaan. Know and consider that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon earth beneath. Know for certain that God rules in heaven. What that means is that God fulfills all of His purposes in heaven. Now, most folks don't have any problem believing that. But He is just as much God upon earth as He is God in heaven. He's not a lesser God upon earth. He is the God of heaven. He is the God of earth. In other words, God rules this earth, and God fulfills His purposes upon earth. Know that for certain. Hold on to that. Don't ever let go of that. God is God of heaven. That means that God controls and regulates all the affairs of heaven. Now, is He a lesser God on earth? Of course not. You've got some pretty messed up theology if you have one God in heaven and another God upon earth. But He's the same God. He's the same God in earth. So if God is regulating the affairs of heaven, is He not also regulating the affairs of this earth? God is sovereign. He is the absolute monarch in heaven. And if that be so, then He is sovereign and He is the absolute monarch upon earth. In other words, God is the same in heaven and upon earth. There's no difference. He says, know this. Know this. Know that the God who regulates the affairs of heaven regulates the affairs of this earth. Know this, consider it, understand it, recognize it in all circumstances, in all situations, recognize that God regulates the affairs of heaven and God regulates the affairs of the earth. Be persuaded in that. Be convicted of that. Be absolutely certain of that. That there is absolutely no place in which God is not God. And there is no condition under which God is not God. He is never anything less than He is in heaven. And He is everything in heaven. So the instruction is, know and consider that God is. And then he goes on, he says, know and consider that there is none else. There's no equal to God. A lot of folks don't believe that. A lot of God's people don't believe that. Oh, I know, they say they do, but they really don't. Because God says something plainly in His Word, and then they go and ask someone else's opinion on it. As if that person is equal with God or greater than God. There is none else. He alone is God. He alone regulates the affairs of heaven and the affairs of earth. There is no equal. There is no equivalent. There are no comparisons. If you try to take something earthly and compare it to God, you are going to blaspheme God every single time. There are no comparisons. There are no parallels. God has no counterparts. He is preeminent. He is paramount. He and He alone is sovereign. He and He alone is the monarch of the universe. There is none else. That's not hard to understand. He is God, and there is none else. He holds the whole world in His hands, and no one else does. He can turn the hearts of men whithersoever He pleases, and no one else can. Only God. He is the Almighty, and He is alone the Almighty. That is, the one who has all might. He is omniscient. He is the only one who knows everything. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God knows everything? Then if you believe that, why do we struggle when God tells us to do something? He knows everything. His ways are right. You see, we've got to have this foundation. We've got to know this. We've got to know that He is God. We have got to know that there is none else. He and He alone worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. I get so tired of hearing about the will of man. And I'm not saying that man doesn't have a will, but God's will overrides all wills. There is none else. And to know this, to understand this, to recognize this in all situations, to have some comprehension. Again, I cannot comprehend a lot of things that happen, but I can comprehend that God is God, and that God rules in heaven, and God rules on earth. I can understand that, and I believe that. I wouldn't want to believe anything else. I don't understand why anybody would get angry, that is, a child of God, at the thought that God is in control. Why would that upset anybody? Can you think of anybody better to be in control? Then notice, we're to know, we're to consider these things in our heart, and notice when we're to do this. Know therefore this day. Two words. This day. And those two words cover every day that God gives you. It covers the time frame of your whole life upon earth. It covers one day at a time. If God allows us to live tomorrow, tomorrow will become this day. So this day covers our entire life. So every day of my life, No matter what that day might bring forth, I am to know with absolute certainty that God is God. The same God who rules in heaven rules upon earth. And that there is none else. I need to consider that. I need to know that every single day. Now, is God actively involved in heavenly matters? Almost everyone would agree, yes. God is actively involved in heavenly matters. Well, it's the same God upon earth. You ask most folks today, and again, I'm talking about saved people, those who profess salvation. Is God actively involved in the earth? And they'll say no. Well, I don't find much comfort in that. He's the same God. And He is actively involved, and I need to know that. That means everything that happens, God's behind it. Somehow, some way, God's behind it. He's behind it all. Know that God knows. Know that God cares. Know that God is able. Know that God is faithful. Know that so well that you feel it. Know that so well that you hide it in your heart and you get a grip upon that and it gets a hold of you as well. And when that happens, that will give you a sense of purpose in life. It will also cause you to trust the Lord. I mean, if you know these things, how can you not trust Him? How can you not lean upon Him? The next verse talks about obeying the Lord. Who is it that's really going to truly obey God? Those who know what is stated in verse 39. When you know what is stated in verse 39, all you can do is obey. When you know that for certain. So you see, this is the foundation. On any given day, and from any direction, troubles can come. Difficulties can come. Things that distress us can come. Commotion can arise. That which is going to confuse us, that which will cause us some anxiety, and some sorrow, and some loss. On any given day, any of those things can come our way. On any given day, there may be some bad news. On any given day, there may be some terrible news. On any given day, you may be under pressure beyond your strength. These things can happen on any day. On any given day, you can be walking in the valley. On any given day, you might find yourself in the depths of the sea. On any given day, you might find yourself in the very midst of a raging storm. You may find yourself walking in the furnace, walking in the furnace of persecution. There may be mountains that you have to climb that will require all of your strength and all of your energy. There may be Red Seas to cross. There may be Jordan Rivers to get over. There may be some deserts that you're going to have to travel through on any given day. On any given day, there may be persecutions. There may be diseases that you're going to have to face. Either diseases that you will personally experience or diseases that your loved ones will experience. On any given day, these things can happen. On any given day, you might find yourself in the most fierce battle that you've ever been in all of your life. On any given day, you may face some Goliaths. On any given day, you may face obstacles. There may be innumerable obstacles in your way. There may be darkness. There may be loneliness. And on and on and on we can go. When any of those things transpire, what is it that causes us to rise above it? What is it that enables us? Because I believe even in those days, we can still live in Canaan. We can still have and enjoy what God has for us. But the foundation of that, again, is what we read here in Deuteronomy 4 in verse 39. That is, when any of these things transpire, that I know that nothing can convince me otherwise, that I know with absolute certainty, that I know with absolute conviction, that God is God in heaven, God is God on earth, and there is none beside Him. That's what we need to know. That's what we need to understand. That's what we need to recognize. That's what we need to comprehend. And if you can know that, if you can recognize that, you have the conviction that that is so. Tell me that won't make a difference in how you view the day. That's going to make a difference in how you view any trouble, any difficulty, any mountain. You know why God's people many times don't view the problems any differently than the world does? Because they don't know what we read in Deuteronomy 4, verse 39. They're just as ignorant as the world. But if we know these things, it not only makes a difference in how we view the day, I believe it'll make a difference in where we live also. The reason folks wander in the wilderness is because they don't practice Deuteronomy 4:39. The reason they've been brought under the bondage of an enemy power is the same reason. If you know these things, if you're absolutely certain of these things, you live enjoying the Lord. You live an abundant spiritual life. Then verse 40 tells us that we're to obey the Lord. Between me and Canaan, between you and Canaan, between us and the abundant life, between us and the enjoyment of God, between us and the peace of God, there are things that get in the way. We all have things. We all have things that get in the way of us living the abundant life, of us enjoying God, of us having the peace of God. There are Jordan rivers. Jordan River was in the way. There are Jerichos. Jericho was in the way. Now, if you're going to get to Canaan, you have got to get across whatever's in the way. And there will always be things in the way. Always. May differ from day to day, but there will always be something in the way. You have to get across whatever's in the way. Sin can be in the way. infirmity, trials, difficulties, afflictions, disappointments, all of these things get in the way. Burdens. We all have burdens. If you allow your burdens to keep you from Canaan, guess what? You've got a heavier burden now. It'd be much lighter if you were living in Canaan. Not saying it wouldn't be there, but it'd be lighter. It'd be easier to bear if you were living in the right spot, if you were living in the right place. So there's always things in the way. These Jordan rivers, these Jerichos, they can be literal. They can be imagined. A lot of times we imagine things that are in the way that really aren't. They're not there. But if you imagine it and it keeps you from crossing over, guess what? It's real. It's real. It's a real obstacle. These Jordan rivers and Jerichos, God can place them right in front of us. The devil can place them in front of us. Don't ever think that the devil is the one who places all obstacles in front of you. That's nothing could be further from the truth. God places some obstacles in front of us to test our faith. The devil certainly puts some obstacles in front of us. Other people can put obstacles in front of us. We put a lot of obstacles in front of us of our own making. But there's always something that has to be overcome. And the Jordan rivers that we encounter, and the Jerichos that we encounter, and whatever stands between where we are in our walk with God and where God would have us to be, and there's a difference most of the time. Where we are and where God would have us to be may be two entirely different things. And in order to get to where God would have you to be, you have to cross over. You have to cross over Jordan. You have to stand up against Jericho. You have to. If you don't, you will either wander in the wilderness or you will find yourself under the dominion of an enemy power. So where are we living today? What is it that stands between us and a closer walk with the Lord? It could be different for all of us. But whatever it is, it's got to be overcome. You cannot just accept it. You have to overcome it. And how do you get the courage to take that step in order to cross over? It's by knowing and considering what we read in Deuteronomy 4:39. When you know that with absolute certainty, when God says, put your foot in the Jordan River, you're going to put your foot in the Jordan River. When God says, march around Jericho, you're going to march around Jericho because you know that He's God and He's in control. And that's how we enter Canaan. So you see, the foundation goes back to what we know. We need courage. We need strength to obey God. It takes strength to surrender to God. It takes faith to let go and lean upon God. And these things all have their foundation in knowing with absolute certainty that God is God. That's where we get the strength to step out. Why is it that some folks never I mean, they never get to Canaan. They never get there. They know what they ought to do. You talk to them all the time. I know what I need to do. And I'm thinking about it. Well, you think about it, and you just keep on thinking about it. And you'll just keep on wandering in the wilderness, and you'll just keep on living under the power of an enemy, under the dominion of an enemy power. Well, I'm thinking about it. Well, what are you thinking about? Just what are you thinking about? I know what God would have me to do, and I'm thinking about it. What in the world are you thinking about? Obviously, you don't know what Deuteronomy 4:39 says. We have to know that. And when we know that, we stop thinking about it. We stop lingering. We stop hesitating. So many, they spend their whole lives hesitating. They're always hesitating. They know they need to cross over, but they just can't seem to take that step. I believe it's because faith is weak. They don't know for certain that God's telling them the truth. What else could it be? I mean, if you know for certain that God is telling you the truth, and you know for certain that what God is telling you is absolutely best for you, if you know that for certain, what's the problem? I mean, what is the problem? It gets back to, folks don't know that for certain. Oh, I believe that God knows everything. But if you really examine it, if you're struggling, it's because you're really not sure. You're really not certain. This is foundational. So where do you live today? Where are you living? How do you live today? Do you know anything about the land flowing with milk and honey? Do you know what it is to live upon this earth, tasting heaven? Do you know what it is to live a heavenly life upon earth? Do you know what it is to enjoy God upon earth? Do you know what it is to have the peace of God in your heart? Again, what we read there in Deuteronomy 4:39 still echoes down through the quarters of time. He is God in heaven, He is God on earth, and there is none else. We have got to know that. That will encourage us. That will strengthen us. Because again, as we said this morning, there is more out there for all of us. But it's going to take faith. It's going to take strength. It's going to take courage. And we find the faith, the strength, the courage in knowing that He is God. That He is not going to lead me astray. He is not going to tell me to do something that is not good for me. He always has my best interest in mind. Always. He's not out to get me. He's not out to harm me. I need to listen to Him and obey Him. You say, well, What if I take that step, and then what if? You see, you're still not convinced that He is God in heaven. You take all your what ifs, and He's still God in heaven. You take all your what ifs, and He's still the God upon earth. You take all your what ifs, there's still none else beside Him. He's still God. And many times it's the what ifs that stands between us and Canaan. Well, what if this happens? Well, I'm going to wait and see. Yeah, and you may spend your last day upon earth waiting. Never entering Canaan. So again, You don't have to live your life wandering in the wilderness. To me, it's one of the saddest things there is to see a child of God spending the majority of their life wandering in a wilderness, getting nowhere, being under the power of an enemy, being the slave, being the servant of that which is destructive. You don't have to live that way. There's more out there. There's more. God has more for you. And we ought to want everything that God has for us. Everything. Everything that God has for me in this life, I ought to want it. I ought to pursue it. But it's going to take faith. It's going to take courage. It's going to take strength. I'm going to have to overcome some things. I'm going to have to cross over some obstacles. But I can do that because God will give me the strength to do that. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that? Oh, that each one of us, whatever the obstacles are, that we would get beyond the obstacles. That we would just take that step and cross over and follow Him. Our individual lives would be better. Our homes would be better. Churches would be better. I'm telling you, everything would be better. Everything would be better. Everything would be more enjoyable if we just did it God's way. But before I'll do it God's way, I have to be convinced that God's way is right. And the reason many people continue to do it their way over and over and over again is because somehow it is in their mind that their way is right. As I've said before, it amazes me how people can come. I mean, their lives are in shambles. There's no order in their life at all. And they come for advice and then they sit there and argue. I'm not the one with all the problems. My life's not in shambles. Theirs is. And they want to argue on whether God's word is right. It's no wonder. You see, they're not convinced that God's way is right. But I assure you, every single time, God's way is right. Every time. And if we are in disagreement with God, we are wrong. Every time. But we can live in Canaan tonight, and I pray that each one of us would. For Larry,